welcome fulfillers of the Great Commission. May Christ, our Good Shepherd, strengthen and preserve us, and give us courage to speak and to proclaim the words of the Great Commission, the words of forgiveness and of life eternal. And may Christ strengthen us always that we may have the courage to speak this. Today's text is taken from the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." To call and to be called by God to serve his people is no small task. Often I wonder if we as seminarians haven't overcommitted ourselves when we go forward to proclaim God's word. For I myself find it hard sometimes just to speak a simple hello to my fellow brothers and sisters in the ministry and in the process of fulfilling the Great Commission. For it seems today in the time struggles that all of us have that we can't even find time to study and to get all of our earthly things in proper perspective, let alone to proclaim God's word of encouragement, of compliment to our brothers in the ministry. And yet in a few short days, we will be called to go out and to fulfill that Great Commission. How will we gain the courage to speak if we can't even speak to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here on this campus the words of encouragement that Jesus gives us? For I oftentimes find that my tongue becomes a little tongue-tied, a little heavy, when I go to tell of others of Jesus Christ and what he means to me personally, and how that, oh, I hate to admit it, but I still have a lot of hidden sins. And yet, God calls us to speak those words of encouragement, of confession to our brothers in the ministry. Where can we find this courage? God speaks to us with the words of the gospel today that he is with us always. Maybe we can find a source of courage in those words. Today, I have chosen the first lesson to speak on, the lesson of Joshua. As we remember, Joshua was a student under Moses. Moses, as we recall, was the person whom God called to deliver his people out of bondage. Moses was a man whom God expected that Moses would stand firmly on God's promises. And as Moses grew in faith, we see that Moses did stand on God's promises and that he was led to action, the action of leading God's people according to God's direction. And so as we think of Joshua in bondage, we see that he surrounds Moses, and soon he is Moses' right hand. Many of us will soon be going out on victories, and we see that Moses had a victory for Joshua, that he took Joshua and said, "Now you go out into this foreign land, so I'm busy here, I can't go, but you go in my place, spy out this promised land, and come back and tell me what it's like." So Joshua, Caleb, and 10 others go and spy out this promised land. And Joshua and Caleb soon are filled with enthusiasm, saying, "This land is a land of great opportunity, a land for growth and nourishment of God's people. It is a land flowing with milk and honey." And Joshua and Caleb return to Moses to tell him the story that people should rise up and immediately go into the promised land, for it is a good land, and God will be with us, and we will prosper and grow there. But we remember that some of the other victors who went out, the other 10, were not so enthusiastic. They said, "Yeah, sure, this is a land filled with milk and honey, but it also has its hard spots. You know, the people out there, they're big, and they've got big cities, and they're hard to reach, and I don't think we should go in there now." And Joshua and Caleb again tried to persuade God's people, saying, "Do not be afraid. God is with us. We've seen how he delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians, and he will be with us now." But Joshua failed to persuade God's people to enter into the promised land. The Israelites, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb included, spend the next 39 years wandering. May we not have this hardship today. May we not back away from the Great Commission so that we spend the next 39 years wandering. But God does reach out to his people. He does fill them with strength And as we continue to look at Joshua's life, after continuing in graduate school, we might call it another 39 years under Moses, his call day finally arrived. And Joshua is given that divine call by God to lead his people into the promised land. So too, our call is the same, to lead God's people into the promised land. We look at Joshua and he's telling the people, well, we don't have a big army. And many of us, well, we're just sort of wanderers after these 39 years. But God is with us. He has promised to give us victory. He has said that we will be successful. And as for me, I will stand on God's word. And he leads the people across the Jordan into the promised land. So we see that in his encounters in the promised land, he must go up against 31 of well-trained armies and nations in order to make that land the land of God's people. But does Joshua back away? No, armed solely with the word of God, many thinking that he's full of nonsense, he thinks we can destroy these people and these kingdoms by marching around and blowing trumpets. Sort of sounds foolish, doesn't it? In our world today, many people would tell us the same thing, that being a Christian is believing in myths, that it's all nonsense, that the idea of someone raising from the dead, well, that's utter stupidity. Let them be doubters. Our job is to persuade people to enter into the promised land, to stand on God's word and to act upon it. God will be with those. History shows that if we stand and proclaim God's word, that God brings his word to completion through his people. God gives us victory through those who trust in his word. As we think of Joshua's life and how he was called, maybe if we could study under Moses, we could have that courage and strength to stand and act on God's word. Not that our professors are good enough, but it just seems if we could go back and get underneath Moses, then maybe we could have a little of that strength and courage rub off on us so that we would have the courage to speak and to fulfill the Great Commission. Yet, our dreams and my wish to trade places with Joshua, to be under Moses, has been fulfilled beyond my farthest imagination when I surveyed the wondrous cross. For on the cross, God truly shows that he is present with his people. For on the Christ, for Christ, his name means Emmanuel, God present with his people. Christ was born. He led a sinless life for us. He took everything the world could throw at him, and he was triumphant. The world threw pain to him, suffering, starvation, and yet Jesus trusted that God would be with him and protect him and care for him. And then the next big battle he had was that battle with Satan, where Satan threw all kinds of temptations, all kinds of perils and storms, and anything you can imagine in Christ's way to try to defeat Christ. But God was present with Christ because Christ is the embodiment of God. God incarnate in man, Jesus Christ. And Christ did defeat Satan, and he arose victorious on Easter morning. And that victory is also ours. Ours to share the good news of the great trade that God came to man and through Jesus Christ took our place, took our sins, took our death, and suffered even hell for us, and that we have been given forgiveness and life eternal because God traded places in Christ with us. Ours is to share that victory of the great trade, for God wants us to stand upon that promise and to continue to lead people into the promised land. This is our commission, and the courage to speak comes through trusting in Jesus Christ. Isaiah put it very well when he said, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This is the source of our strength. Amen.